still waters where the guest waited. But that thing would never let us get off the ground. You can't call for someone to come get us?
I know from experience that my comm won't reach anyone from this place.
What about an emergency beacon?
The Rhodian gave that single twitch of her head to the left that meant no.
These demonstration models are stripped down, built for speed rather than safety. Our clients always want a demonstration of speed, but never ask for a demonstration of emergency services.
I sighed in frustration. Well, let's do what we came to do, and worry about getting out of here afterward, I said.
Agreed, Soonta said.
And we turned to the mausoleum. Soonta produced a handheld sonic cutter to clear a path through the undergrowth, which allowed us to reach it in a few minutes, while saving our clothes and skin from tears and perhaps puncture wounds. The mausoleum didn't have a marker on it, or any engraving explaining who was entombed there. Soonta knelt in the soft dirt before the gray stone door, and I joined her, bowing my head. She said a few things in her native language that I didn't understand, but they sounded solemn and respectful, and I hoped my silence would be taken in the same spirit. But I could not help wondering what might lie inside the tomb. I know that Soonta said her uncle's body had been found inside his ship once it landed, but was it truly still there now? I don't think I'll ever forget the sight of Obi-Wan's empty robe. That method of dying still didn't seem plausible to me, and I had seen it with my own eyes. I wondered if perhaps this Ha'ulik had eventually faded to nothingness in the same way. When Soonta had finished her oblations, I asked, "Forgive me if it's rude to ask, but might we see him?" The Rhodian tilted her head ever so slightly in my direction and regarded me with her giant black eyes.
"Did you speak the truth earlier? Do you wish to become a Jedi yourself one day? Or was that merely an idle fantasy?"
"Yes, I truly wish it, more than anything."
"Then we should enter."
I helped her open the door, and the smell inside was every bit as damp and moldy as the outside. Assorted slugs and a snake wriggled away from the sudden glare of sunlight. A sarcophagus squatted in the middle of the room, almost covered in a carpet of lichen.
"There's something in there for you," Soonta said, pointing with a green finger.
"There is? What?"
"Help me move the lid."
I didn't argue, since it was what I wanted anyway, but her eagerness puzzled me.
I supposed I didn't know much about Rhodian cultural taboos regarding the dead, and decided to go with it.
We hefted a corner of the slab together and shoved it aside until the top half of Ha'ulik's remains lay revealed. There wasn't much left, but clearly he hadn't passed on to some other state of existence like Obi-Wan. Apart from the bones, there were still fragments of the robe left. A few curling clumps of hardy threads that had survived this long against the elements and denizens of the swamp. Soonta leaned over and thrust her hand into the sarcophagus, obstructing my view. She emerged holding a thick black cylinder.
"This is Ha'ulik's lightsaber, I believe. We buried it with him since we didn't know what else to do with it."
"Does it still work?"
"I don't know."
She handed it to me.
"Try it and see. It's yours."
I blinked. "You're giving this to me? Wouldn't someone else in your family object?"
Soonta shrugged her antennae.
"At this point, I suspect I am the only member of my family who still comes to visit him. And it is not doing any good sealed away like that. I think it's an inheritance better suited to you than me. Perhaps you can learn something from it, and one day become a Jedi like your father and my uncle. It would be good to have the Jedi return, I think.
It was a stupefying gift, and I had difficulty mustering a response. Thank you, I managed after a time, though the words were inadequate. I'm honored. Ulic's lightsaber was designed for a Rodian hand, and wasn't quite comfortable in my fist. It had a matte black finish to it, and an odd, slick feeling. I didn't know if that was its original state, or if some kind of biological ooze coated it. Pointing it carefully away from both of us, I thumbed it on, expecting the power cell to be long depleted by now. But it ripped into life, and thrummed with energy. A brilliant amethyst blade.
Now, something like that, Sunta said, might allow you to survive a direct attack from a guest.
It took a moment for me to process her meaning, but when I did, I stared at her. You mean walk out there as bait, holding a lightsaber in front of me?
You have two now, correct? Your odds of ensuring the guest has to eat a lightsaber before it eats you are pretty good.
I grinned. Sunta had a strange sense of humor, but she also had a point. I'd be better off protecting myself from a quick attack with two lightsabers than with a single blaster that I'd have to aim and fire in a fraction of a second before I got charged.